Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to episode number 49 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. WrinkledNotDead.com is our blog, and you can find all of our earlier episodes there. You can make comments there. You can rate us there. You can subscribe. And, of course, your suggestions are always welcome. Or go to iTunes and search in the podcasts, and also on Facebook as well.
And if you can tell your friends and family, word of mouth is the best form of advertising.
Absolutely.
We ought to know. The oldest and the best.
The oldest and the best. We've been in advertising for our entire married lives, which is almost 34 years now.
Yeah, we have a company also called Michael Bell Productions, mm-hmm. and we do radio and TV advertising. We do corporate training films. We do public speaking, you name it. We do it.
And we love it.
We love it. Our business has been going since 1989.
Yeah, it's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
One of our landmarks is called Rose and Thorn, and it's kind of a thing that's maybe great that happened during the week, or something that's not as great, which is a thorn. I have a very interesting one. My rose this week, Jen, is got a note, email just the other day. I'm on the nominating committee for next year's Screen Actors Guild Awards.
Yay!
Isn't that so? We'll get to go to some of these premieres.
Oh, up my in, favorite thing to
probably
do.
In Los Angeles, and we'll probably have to drive because we live in San Diego, California. But we're going to go for sure. Absolutely, we're going to go. Okay, here's the thorn part.
Yeah.
You ready? Okay. How do you get nominated? Is it because I'm so fabulous in the Screen Actor Guild? No. Random selection. That's the truth of it. They just toss it into put your name in a hat, and there it is. No, it's a computer thing, and so I just got lucky this year. It should be fun.
Well, that is great, because what we love most is watching TV and shows.
Yeah, I know, we really
do. And
there's
some good ones out there.
I know, there are.
Well, my rose is I started a new yet other little job.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't even feel like one. I love it so much.
Yeah.
I started my house and dog sitting job, and I absolutely love it.
Well, you're very precise about things.
I am. I want to make sure all my I's are dotted and my T's are crossed. And I love animals, any kind of animal. I'm taking care of two dogs right now. And the reason why I'm telling you about this is we talked about as you get older, you can start doing things that you really, really love, and it can make a little small business out of it. And this is something I really love. So go out and there, do it, because I was a little nervous at first because you're going into someone's new house and you want to be respectful and you want to make sure everything is perfect. But it has worked out just great.
The only weird part of it for me is that, you know, you're away from home, which we're very seldom apart in all of our life together. All
I
these
know.
Almost 34 years, we're never apart for very long. So we just fixed that because where your house sitting right now is around the corner. So
exactly. And that was my thorn. My thorn was that I didn't want to be away from my own dogs and my husband and everything else. But we took that thorn and we made it work.
We did.
Like everything we do now, you have to adjust and make it work. And this is what happens. So Mike does not spend the night at all in the person's house because we're respectful.
Yep.
But he comes by in the late afternoon and brings me my one meal because I'm on a
diet.
That's another story. And we walk the dogs together. And we've made what I thought was going to be a thorn into something so fun.
Okay, now you're stealing my bit on time off.
That's what we're going to lead into.
Oh, well, that was a very nice delivery. All right.
Let me listen. This
thorn
leads into a time off. So I was worried about this, and yet it ends up being something you love the most.
So seamlessly, you have gone into the next category, which is time off. And my time off, it has been great because, first of all, the weather is really beautiful right now. And the flowers are out, and it's just beautiful. And walking Lulu and, do we say Chubbs?
No, Claudia is her
Claudia.
Name. Claudia. Lulu is a standard poodle, and Claudia is a Sheltie. And Claudia is a little
chubby.
Bit overwhelmed. Wait, but we're working on that.
we're working on it, and she hated it at first. But now, Chubbs, Claudia, is really loving the walk, and we're really enjoying it too. So that's time off, and it's free. And so look for things like that, because when you're wrinkled, not dead, yeah, okay, maybe you don't have as much money as you had in the past, but things that are free are wonderful too.
Yeah, and sometimes you forget about the free things.
I know.
Well, my time off is I just read a great book, and it's called Eye Ripper. And it's by Stephen Hunter, and it's a novel. And it's about the other side of Jack the Ripper. It's another sort of look at Jack the Ripper. And back in the day of Jack the Ripper's time, newspapers were having some problems.
Yeah.
They weren't making enough money. And
well, this is in London, right?
This is in London, England, where Jack the Ripper, he was evidently a serial killer, and he did these horrific murders on prostitutes and basically disemboweled them.
I mean, there are famous gory pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
Black and white old tin type things.
Yeah. And this book looks at it from maybe Jack the Ripper was not really one person. It was multiple killers, copycat killers.
Ah.
But because the newspapers were having difficulty in selling subscriptions, they made it into this big thing about one and one only serial killer, because they said serial killers sell newspapers.
Right. So create this monster.
Exactly. This monster. And so newspapers started to sell, and that's what got things moving, which brings me into, so again, that's just a theory. You know, there's many theories out there about Jack the Ripper.
Hang on now. I think part of the problem in London was that there were so many newspapers, and they're all fighting for the same audience, obviously.
Yes.
So somebody had to come up with something.
With something.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's true or not, it's a novel,
know.
It's fun and
I
all
know.
That. But what I loved about it is it brings us into our topic for this week, which is fake news.
Fake news. It's been everywhere. And I don't know what, you can't turn on the television on any network and not have the term fake news tossed at you. So we wondered about it. I mean, where did this thing come from, this fake news? So we looked it up, and the definition of fake news is fictitious articles. I'm going to read this so I don't get it wrong. Fictitious articles deliberately fabricated to deceive readers, generally with the goal of profiting. Well, okay, I get it. So this really came to pass over the last few months during the U.S. presidential election. Fake news became an issue from both the Republican side and the Democratic side. Now, our program is completely apolitical. We could care less, right?
Well, we care, but we just, this is
it's
not our platform.
It's not, it's exactly.
There's many very
no, that's
good platforms for political.
For that stuff, but we avoid it because it's just, you know, why would you?
It's oversaturated.
It
right
is.
Now.
It truly is. It truly is. So anyway, it came to prominence during the political season, I guess, the election cycle, but it comes with a great and heroic history long, long, long before this last 2016 election. There was fake news propagated against all kinds of people. I mean, if you want to look at the politics end of it, Abraham Lincoln was accused of everything practically from murder to rape and pillaging and drunkenness and debauchery. And it's just ridiculous, absolutely stupid, false news in order to erode his power. And so you can go back further and further and further and find that there are evidences of fake news just with a different title. I mean, what do they used to call it way back in the day?
Wasn't it yellow journalism?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yellow journalism. Well, that's just whatever term that they came up with. It was unethical journalistic practices. But hundreds of years ago, yellow journalism was the term that now is replaced by fake news.
And during the Gilded Age, I read.
Well, I don't know how far you could go back. Could you go back to the Romans and say, you know, Caesar is...
Exactly.
I think you can. Honestly, I think you can. But I think today, the reason why we're just so assaulted with this fake news, the quote-unquote statement that it is because we're bombarded with all kinds of news outlets. Not only our traditional networks on television, but the almighty internet.
Yeah, there used to be newspapers and TV, and that was it.
Yes, that's
correct. And
now
we've got all this. And what I'm finding is, and the reason why we brought up fake news this week, is that a lot of our listeners are saying that they feel, I'm going to say this, anxious, agitated, helpless, And many of them say they feel like there's a big storm brewing, that something really terrible is going to happen.
Hmm.
And being over 50, they feel like there's nothing they can do about it. They just have to batten down the hatches and, like, look out, here it comes. And so we kind of wanted to go look at it face on.
Yeah.
Because of our listeners being so frightened all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if we let kind of tell you, you know what, this has been going on since forever. I mean, remember Rock Hudson?
Yes,
back
the actor.
In the Hollywood era?
Yep.
Well, he was considered like the ladies' man. And back then, of course, he was gay.
Yeah.
And that was a no-no. They had to hide that. So they fabricated this whole life around Rock Hudson.
Yeah.
So that's fake news.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a terrific example of it, too. I mean, Rock Hudson, beautiful, handsome man and all the rest. How could he be gay? Well, he was.
Yeah, and to sell movies, he had to be a ladies' man.
Right.
And so they had to fabricate the news. So, and the stories around him. So it's been going along a lot in Hollywood. I mean, Marilyn Monroe, and there's so many different stories that we could go on and on about. But it's been there all along. And I guess a big thing for our listeners, Mike, is to take a deep breath and then do some fact-checking.
Right. That's exactly the point. I mean, don't take anything for granted. Just because you saw it on the XYZ network or anything like that doesn't necessarily mean it's true. So go into this. And I guess most people's advice is to check it on multiple sources. Ones that you trust, but also other ones that seem to have a good reputation. I'm not going to name any of them because they all seem to have a slant these days. But at any rate, just broaden your own horizons a little bit and not just take the word of one particular network or website or anything like that. But take it with a grain of salt. And then after all that, consider if it's important in your life as well. Does it really matter?
You know, I just posted something on Instagram and it says, relax, nothing's under control.
That's fantastic. Where'd you find that?
You just, you know what, everybody, you just have to know we've lived this long.
Yeah.
And we've survived and we're putting one step foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
And we just have to not take everything we read in here at face value. And what we'll do on our blog, wrinklednotdead.com, is post a few of the fact checkers.
Yeah.
Websites you can go to and actually check everything and hopefully.
Personally, I don't believe any of them anyway. So just, I guess the overarching idea is that just take everything with a grain of salt. And if it doesn't really impact your life, then maybe it's okay to ignore it a little bit, kick it down the path a little.
There's only so much you can absorb in a day. I mean, I remember when the National Enquirer first came out and everybody thought everything that they printed was true. And they were outlandish stories.
Yeah.
And now we look at it as a rag and a joke, and we kind of laugh at it. And I guess that's kind of the way we have to be with
this
information age, don't
you
think?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they're famously the ones that the tabloid press, they're called, but the ones that are at the end cap of your grocery store there that are in lurid colors with, you know, iffy looking artwork on the front and people's pictures all photoshopped and everything else. But you know what? We thought it would be a great idea that here's our perspective. I'm 65, Jen is 60 years of age, but wouldn't it be smart to invite some people on the show who may have a different outlook on all of this because they are the most plugged in to social media than anybody we know. And that's Michael Bostic and Lauren Everts. They have the skinnyconfidential.com and they have their own podcast.
The Him and Her podcast, which check it out. It's really
fun.
Oh
my God, it's huge too.
Good.
I mean, it's just global and it's amazing in its power.
And it gives you an insight on young people. I mean, they are, you know, in their late 20s or early 30s. So they're very young. And let's listen to what they have to say about fake news.
I think first and foremost, the majority of people need to understand that the news mediums and all and the media platforms, they have not changed. The only thing that's changed is the delivery. The context is still the same. It's just the delivery system and where consumer attention has gone has changed, meaning consumer attention has largely focused to digital social media. And I think when thinking about fake news stories, people need to understand that most of these media properties, news, you know, entertainment, whatever, they're in the business of selling ad space. And the more views, the more hits, the more subscribers, the higher the ratings, the more ad space they can sell. So of course, a lot of these properties are going to fall into the trap of doing whatever they can to get these viewers and these readers or these listeners or whatever the platform is to interact and engage and come in droves as best as they can. And a lot of times that happens with stories that are either fake or exaggerated. And I think what people should understand and realize is it's not, while I blame a lot of these properties, at the same time, I blame the consumer just as much. You have to be a responsible consumer and take a look at this stuff and say, okay, should I fact check this? Yes. Could this be fake or exaggerated? Yes. Okay, if that's the case, you need to be a responsible human being to society and make a judgment call. Okay, I'm going to interact with it this way or not. Because if you think about it, a lot of the reason these fake news stories occur or these stories are exaggerated is because the media wants to play both sides against each other. Because the best thing is to get one side or two sides interacting, but an even better thing is to get two sides fighting over the same story. And this, because you can stretch that story out for months or weeks or whatever. And so, of course, then it boosts ratings, which boosts ad sales. And really, at the end of the day, the consumer is losing, not these media properties.
So would you say then that nothing has changed, just there are more platforms for fake news?
Exactly. I don't think so. Lots change. I think there's just more delivery systems, and I think it's more abundant. I think it's easier to consume all these things. It's easier to consume information. And when that happens and competition rises, and I can say, okay, instead of reading my local paper or that one big newspaper, I can go online and read hundreds or thousands of publications. So what's happened is a lot of these companies, I don't want to say they get desperate, but it gets very competitive. It gets saturated. So what they're doing is how can I stand above the next guy? How can I get the story that's going to beat that guy's story?
Okay, but there's always going to be somebody who's kind of got more quote-unquote credibility than others. So is spoofing like a big deal where, okay, I'm pretending to be NBC News or...
I think you fake it until you make it. And I think these news stations know that. I think it's a huge competition. Now there's so many different outlets, but at the same time, the consumer is such a multitasker. Who you're appealing to is someone that hits Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, their email in the same morning, in the same 15 minutes. So you have to understand who you're appealing to. And if you're appealing to a consumer that's going to hit 4 or 5 or 6 different social media platforms in 15 minutes, you have to understand that it's incredibly competitive.
Well, it's hard to grab their attention. And in terms of faking until you make it, I don't necessarily agree with that theory, but I do agree that there's so many different platforms that these companies are going to do whatever they can to stand out. But like I said in the beginning, I think that it's the consumer's responsibility to kind of manage their expectations and understand like what's real and what's not, and really kind of do their own fact checking, and not just for other people in society, but for themselves. If you're the type of person that's going to read anything on face value and believe it and just go with that story, you're going to set yourself up for some serious problems.
I know, but don't you think that everybody leans towards their own personal beliefs anyway?
Well, that's the problem. If you like, say that you're, you know, I'm not saying I'm conservative or liberal, but let's say you're a conservative person.
No, this is a non-political.
Yeah, let's say you're a conservative person. If you read a story that leans in a conservative way, even if it's fake, because you want that truth to be true or you want that story to be true, you're going to run with it, right? If someone when I'm growing up says, hey, Michael, you're going to be 6'5" and you're going to be the best basketball player in the world when you're older, and I really want to do that, I'm like, yeah, and I'm going to run with that. But then all of a sudden I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be 5'10". And I'm not going to be the best basketball player. And so I think, it's the individual's responsibility to say, okay, could this be fake? Could there be another perspective? What's the source? Who's the source? How are they getting this information? Why are they distributing this information to me? And why am I believing it? And I think, you know, until this is going to be like a widespread thing where I think that there's going to be a breaking point where people realize, okay, a lot of these stories are actually starting to become harmful to society in general. I think it's going to take something catastrophic for people to really like wake up and say, okay, at least as a majority. But for the people listening and the small majority that say, okay, I'm going to take responsibility myself, I think it's important to realize, okay, understand, one, most of these properties are in the business of selling ad space, and that's fine. They got to keep the lights on. Number two, understand that they're competing with not just their local, the local competitor anymore, or the state competitor. They're competing with the entire world now in terms of media properties.
Influencers.
So they're doing everything they can to stand out. And number three, it's my responsibility, meaning the consumer, to actually do some digging and figure out which side and which stance I'm going to take based on which facts are actually being presented to me in a real way.
I really don't think you should let the news dictate where you go in life in terms of your career or your goal or your passion. I really think it's important to keep your blinders on and focus on what you're doing, and no matter what the news says, don't let it sway you in either way. I've never looked to the news to guide me in my life. And I think what I see nowadays in 2017 is a lot of people looking towards the president or the news or whatever to guide them to where they're supposed to be. I think that you should just focus on what you're doing, and whatever the news is doing is the news is going to do. It's out of your control. And I'm a big believer in doing things that you can control.
Let me also say one other thing that maybe some people aren't thinking about is sometimes these fake news stories could be used to your advantage. If the general majority of the public is believing a story to be true that you in fact know is not true, there could be real opportunity to capitalize on what that general public thinks. Not to take a stance, but for example, if everybody believes the world's ending, it may not be a bad time to start a survival gear company, right? And I'm just saying.
And there you go. That's my husband.
And that's the kind of way I try to look at everything. And while we all laugh, it's funny. Whenever I try to look at situations, and whenever there's something bad.
If the world's going black, he's going to start a flashlight company.
Whenever people believe something, there's always an opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, if people think, oh, the stock market's crashing, the world's ending, it might be a good time to actually hold on and buy. This has been, you know, if you study the stock market throughout history, there's always been ups and downs. And a lot of the time, a lot of the people have made a lot of money over the years by riding it out and buying and holding when everyone's else is in a panic. So I think that, you know, understanding that the fake media or fake news can also be an opportunity is a good thing as well.
100%. I think that's a great point. Thank you for pointing that out.
So, unbelievable. I mean, the point Michael keeps making is that it's just a bunch more platforms than the National Enquirer.
Yeah.
There's plenty of them out there. So it's quite an amazing. I love the way that they look at life. They just have a brilliant perspective on what's going on. They are so plugged into everything. So they know what fake news is. And it was interesting to see that Michael had a perspective on it that actually thought, well, you know, you can take advantage of this. Okay, so take wise words from somebody who actually knows what he's talking about. That's Michael Bosnick.
Well, and that's one thing about young people. And that's something that we can, you know, soak up from young people is they're always looking ahead. They're always positive. And they're always saying, you know what? Okay, this is happening, but what about this? This is pretty good. And as we get older, we sometimes forget to keep that bright outlook.
I know. So here we are at episode number 49. What have we... I just for a second here. Can I throw in an apropos of nothing?
Absolutely.
Okay. What have we actually... Now we're in fake news. We've got this whole thing going on. What have we learned over... It's almost a year now doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm putting you on the spot.
You are.
I am. But what do you think, or what have you come away with during the last almost 12 months or going into our 12 months of doing Wrinkled Not Dead?
I was panic stricken when we lost our biggest client and I thought our life was over. I thought we had to just pack up and I don't know, just live, survive somehow.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you today, I'm happier than I have been in years. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Our relationship is stronger, if that's even possible, because we've got a very good relationship.
Yeah, we do.
But we have such exciting things on the horizon. Our podcast has taken off. We have some very big
opportunities.
Yeah. People interested in our podcast.
Yeah.
We've shown up quick. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying for everybody out there, I was so afraid, and it ended up being, and it is honest to gosh truth, is that one door closed and two flew open.
Now, you hear that statement over and over again. Remember, we are in self-help. Yes. So this is self-helping, folks, out there. Because from the bottom of our hearts, which Jen just said, we actually are living proof of that. You can, phoenix-like, rise from the ashes. And you can change, and you can evolve, and you can make a difference and be happier. That all that stuff that you did before, all those things that you thought were so important may have gone away, but something else will happen. And I couldn't agree with you more. You stated it so clearly that I really can't embellish anything more on it. But the truth of it is, after 49 episodes, I think we know what the hell we're doing.
And you know what? Our young friends,
yeah,
Lauren and
yeah,
Michael,
right,
said to us when we lost our biggest client, they said, you wait 1 year from now. And they were the ones that yeah, said, hold on, don't panic. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And that's what's great about having young people, because they're so hopeful. And as you get older, you get a little
jaded.
Yeah. And so honestly, just we're not just saying this. This is true. If you're in a bad spot right now and you can't see your way out, stop, take a breath, figure, what am I really good at? I go and do it, and it'll work.
Yeah, you do out there, our friends, our dear friends, because everybody who listens to Wrinkled Not Dead is a friend, as far as I'm concerned. But you have the tools, you just may not recognize them right now. And so take a long look, and I know the panic sets in, I think for about 2 or 3 months at least, we didn't know what the devil we were doing.
It was terrible.
It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But after the fog kind of clears a little bit, and it's kind of an evolutionary process too, isn't it? It doesn't happen like in one day where you see, oh, there's the light, I'm going to head that direction. You have to kind of chip away at the edges, don't you? And then decide on a couple of courses of action. Some of them may never work out, but something will finally occur that you can do.
You know what it's like?
Hmm.
And I don't mean to be sort of flip about this. It's like dieting. You start a diet and you see no change. You know, you just keep going. You're starving. You're going. You're starving. Nobody's noticing that you're losing weight. And then finally somebody says, oh my gosh, have you lost some weight? And then you're still dieting, and then something kind of opens. And I don't mean to be flip. I know that sounds flip, but I'm saying that,
how could that be flip? Well, this is your health.
It takes a little while to kind of get through it. Then all of a sudden things really do. You start seeing things in a different bright light.
Yeah.
But you have to go through that darkness for a little while and just hang on and just remember these words. You will get through it.
And contact us. I mean, if you have a story
100%.
Like others have in the past, yes. You're so good at responding too. I take a little longer to think about these things, but if you've got a problem, you know, you have a friend, and that's us. Wrinkled Not Dead will always be there for you. And, we mean it sincerely. I mean, I just brought this stuff up. I just, you know, episode 49, throw out the script. Let's go and talk about where we've been, where we're going. So, you know, again, the invitation is there. You can go to the blog, wrinklednotdead.com, and you can contact us anytime you want. That'd be
yeah,
great.
Yeah, it's perfect. And I wanted my health minute, Jen's health minute.
Oh, I totally okay. Carried away. All right, Jen's health minute.
I think because I was thinking about the dieting and
yes,
all that.
That's
and
true.
How it's, you know, it's a all progress. Right. My health minute is I've been dieting. I gained a bunch of weight because I was put on prednisone for my eye surgery.
Right.
And prednisone is a steroid, and it just causes you to gain weight. So I need to get back to a healthy weight. And I've now lost 15 pounds. I have 5 more pounds to go. And everybody said, how have you done it? How do you do it? Well, I'm hungry all the time. So I'm
you
not.
You are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't believe anybody who says, you know what, I'm on this diet and I'm full. It just doesn't work that way, you know. Oh, I love it. I hate it.
Yeah, right.
But I know this is a means to an end, like anything. And one thing I felt that really has helped, and people talk about it, is water. I drink a lot of water, and I've been flavoring my water. I'm on Metafast right now. But
that's a program.
It's a
for
program.
Those you know, other countries that may not
yeah.
have it.
Yeah, and I put these flavoring packets that I buy from Metafast, but they do have some chemicals in it. And if you're uncomfortable with that, put lemon or orange or something. Because if you drink water, you feel full, and it helps you not eat too much. And it also raises your mood. It actually makes you feel happier.
What?
It does.
Really?
I did some research on it, and actually water, because we're what, how much are we, 90-some
90,
percent?
90, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of water. And most of us are dehydrated all the time. And so just keep drinking that water. It may sound simple, but you'll forget about it. I know I did. I'm back drinking it, and it's helped me lose 15 pounds, 5 pounds to go.
Mm-hmm.
So like with my diet, and like with you guys going through a hard time or a change or a different stage in your life, you got to go through it slow, but all of a sudden, bam.
Well, you are. I have to say, I'm so proud of you because you are absolutely relentless. Whenever you take on something like the house and dog sitting thing, or the diet, it's like a dog on a bone, as the expression goes. You just will not let go, and it's one of your most endearing characteristics. And I ought to know.
Now, okay. Remember when we like to always have a little tiny segment of for those who are over 50 of remember back in the old days.
Exactly. So you're not going to, I think you're even too young to know this one. Four on the floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
My Volkswagen Bug, my first car.
Okay.
It had the gear shift,
on the floor. Uh-huh. That's, then you know the famous H shape of shifting gears. Okay. Three on the tree. If you're old enough, you will remember three on the tree. I had a Rambler and it had three on the tree, which is the gear shift is actually on the steering column. The clutch is the same place. No problem with that. But three on the tree was this laborious way of changing gears back then, at least in with the Rambler. And, it, you know, I have to say that your attention was, you know, riveted to this because, you know, it's on the steering column. You're not looking down over at the ground or on the floor of the car. So it was a good idea. I don't know why it sort of passed away into history, but it did. Three on the tree. And it brings back fond memories of the smell of a Rambler.
I remember my dad doing that. And I
did
remember
he
had an Impala. I think
Remember I told you? Everybody had an Impala.
Every car he bought was an Impala.
Yeah, my dad too. My dad too.
And I remember that he would shift. And I'd watch him and think, how does he know how to shift? But he would
effortlessly. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I have one. And I know we're only supposed to have one per show, but you know what? We're just going wild here.
Oh, you've gone mad.
Yeah. We're
okay, go ahead. What is it?
Ditto paper.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
We're talking about newspapers and fake news and all that.
I can smell it now.
Yeah. Ditto paper. Do you guys remember back in when you were at school and instead of photocopiers, they had ditto paper? They'd go in and they'd print copies of whatever the handout.
On this roll thing, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
And it was this ink, and the paper would come out warm and kind of moist from the ditto.
It was warm. The paper was warm.
And everybody would smell the ditto paper. So if you can remember, just smell that ditto paper.
Well, that was wood alcohol, buddy.
Probably.
It was. It was wood alcohol. Yeah.
Well, as kids.
Yeah.
It would be banned now.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely banned.
But
that's true.
I remember when I think of school and I think of print and you were talking about fake news,
yeah.
I was thinking of the smell of ditto paper from school. It was just so yummy.
That was fake news, all right. They were usually publishing different changes in the rules, you know, at the school. You know, you shall not do this.
It's true.
I know.
It's true.
So that was a great memory.
I had to throw that one in.
You can smell it right this moment.
Yeah, I can.
Everybody out there is like laughing away, and it's terrific. Okay, let's roll this thing up with our. We love looking for quotes. We kind of fight over them every week on who comes up with the best ones. Actually, traditionally you have, but anyway,
yours is a good one.
I have a terrific one.
Go ahead.
Read it right now. Some people's idea of free speech is that they are free to say what they like. But if anyone says anything back, that's an outrage.
Who said that one?
Winston Churchill.
Oh, gosh, he said so many good
things. Isn't that fantastic?
Oh, he's such
a... I know.
His words were incredible. I think there's a book of all of his quotes.
It's a thick one, too.
I'm sure it would be.
He had, I don't know how he did it, but he had the pithy statement.
It is so true. Free speech, but if you actually say what you think and people don't agree with it, they go nuts.
They do. I know. Yeah. It's true today as it was in the 1940s when he said that.
And probably forever from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
You know, okay. We want to have like minds.
Yep.
Okay, my quote.
All right, I'm ready.
Life teaches us that people can only fake it for so long before someone recognizes the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, and remember, we weren't born yesterday.